Welcome to the Maverick Podcast, business growth tips and discussions to make you the expert in demand.
Hi guys, welcome back to another episode of the Maverick Podcast. I'm Ropa Madziva and today I am joined by Ingrid Dion. Did I say that correctly?
Yes, you did.
Yeah. Ingrid, you're the founder and CEO of Wordcraft. Do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself and what Wordcraft is all about?
Sure. Yeah, we're a social media marketing agency and we specialize in organic social. So we don't do any of the paid ads. We post consistently for different brands. And yeah, we work with really big companies like Nestle Canada, Manulife Bank, as well as small businesses across Canada, like an alpaca firm and a sea cucumber company.
Okay. Oh, wow. Sea cucumbers, like the ones that live in the ocean.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
And an alpaca farm as well.
Yeah. Yeah, it's
that
like
must be
so
quite
much
interesting.
Fun.
Yeah. Like working with, you know, like all the different types of brands, you know, like you just said, the bigger brands and then the smaller ones as well. Within that, like, how do you know what like platform to position each brand on? Obviously, each platform is different and offers different things. Yeah. How do you know which platform is best for each brand?
So we do some research on their target audiences to figure out where the best place to find their target audience is.
Yeah.
So for most, you know, all of our clients, it sort of changes, but most of them are on Facebook, Instagram. Some of them are on LinkedIn. A few are on Twitter. One was on TikTok. There's like a couple that are on Pinterest, but Facebook and Instagram are the biggest ones for sure.
Okay. Why is that, do you think? Why do you think Facebook and Instagram are like the biggest ones? For a lot of people, I think Facebook is kind of, you know, a little bit hit and miss. It can be quite hard, especially nowadays with platforms like Instagram and TikTok, like you've just mentioned, and LinkedIn as well. It can be quite hard to find your group for business on Facebook.
Yeah, for sure. Especially organically.
Yeah.
It's really hard. And the best way to get more reach organically on Facebook is to tap into some groups where your ideal customer is like likely to hang out. So that's sort of what we do. The clients that we have who have an older audience are, of course, more focused on Facebook. We have some clients that are just like doing gangbusters on Facebook, which is just crazy, but they have super engaged Facebook fans.
Yeah.
There's like a restaurant that we work with and their clientele is a little older. And every time they post on Facebook, it just goes bananas and their restaurant's packed. It's just so crazy. It's so cool to see. But yeah, then other clients where their audiences are younger, of course, it's more Instagram. And then most of our clients are, their target audiences are consumers. So LinkedIn isn't the biggest, but for any B2B companies, definitely LinkedIn is more popular.
So there is a difference between if you're B2C or B2B, what kind of platform that you should be using. Why do you think LinkedIn works better for B2B businesses instead of B2C?
I think it's just because of the mindset. When you're on LinkedIn, it seems like the content is a little bit more sort of about, you know, company milestones and company growth and, you know, services for companies or software as a service, those types of things. And we do have a couple of clients that are in the financial, we work with a bank. Okay. So some of their posts that are about the business and the employee, the employee culture, those kinds of posts perform really well on LinkedIn, whereas that type of content we wouldn't necessarily post on Instagram.
Yeah.
So even for specific clients, we really have to tailor the content for the different social media platforms.
Yeah, that doesn't shock me too much because as you just said, you have such a vast, you know, client base. You have such different clients that obviously have different needs and different wants for what they want for their businesses. Within that, how do you like research and find the strategy that would fit them best? Because that's what you guys do, isn't it? So you'll find the strategy for each brand. How do you do that? How do you really get into the niche? Like, what are the key questions, I guess, you have to find the niche of each business?
So when we onboard a new client, we typically ask them a whole slew of questions. We ask about, you know, where they're currently posting. So that's usually an indication of where they think they should be posting. We ask them, you know, for demographics about their ideal audience, and that sort of helps us categorize where they should be. But we also ask them about, you know, who are their main competitors. And then we look at where their competitors are posting and where their competitors are getting more traction. It's, you know, and some of it is just intuition. Like you sort of look at a brand and you can just, you can based tell. On the experience. You can tell. So a little bit of intuition goes into it as well.
But that comes from like your experience, doesn't it? Your the experience that you've had and the things that you've learned along the way. I just want to ask quickly about, you know, your journey in starting WordCraft. Like, how did that all come about? How did that start? And, you know, you gained that experience to be able to go, you know what, I'm an expert in what I do, and this is the platform that you should be using.
Yeah, well, it's been a winding road.
I
started my career as a journalist and worked in radio and newspaper for about 5 years. And then worked a whole bunch of different jobs because jobs in journalism were very hard to come by at that point, especially in rural Canada. So I worked all kinds of weird jobs and then became a single mom when my son was three. So I really had to hustle. So I worked three jobs. I worked at a museum because that's all I could find. I was the assistant director of a museum. I worked for the local newspaper, calling the police and the fire departments in the mornings from 8 to 10 a.m. To write the little news briefs to find out if anything burned down or if, you know, there are any crimes overnight. And I also, I'm a knitter, so why I work with the Alpaca Company. So I sold my knitting patterns and the things that I was knitting, like these, like socks. So that's what I did for a couple of years while I was really trying to find a job in journalism again. And then I sort of stumbled into an ad agency and got a job as a social media coordinator. Worked my way up to manager of social there. And after 3.5 years, I left and started my own business. So when I left, well, I was really quite underpaid. And I think it was sort of a lot of issues that I have with money because I was a single mom living under the poverty line and, you know, lived poor for a little while. So I didn't really know what my worth was and had a hard time asking for it. So I was really underpaid. And that was one of the catalysts that I was like, well, I'm seeing how much the agency is making off of the work that I'm doing. So if I maybe did this for myself, maybe I could make more money and build a better life. So that was one of the main reasons.
Yeah. And I guess that's like what I was saying earlier with the experience that you've had and the experience, you know, as you were saying, you could see how much the agency was making off what you were doing. So you could see that your results were there, and that comes with the experience that you had and trial and error, isn't it? So with that trial and error, do you ever do that for brands as well? Do you ever see campaigns that work and you thought that they'd be amazing, but then they like don't do as well as you thought that they would do?
So it's testing and learning all the time. And I think a lot of people don't understand that there are no rules for social media. So I had a client who was really, they were very analytical and they were very adamant that there has to be a right and a wrong way of doing this. And I really had to tell them that no, there are no, there's no like magic, there's no guidebook
formula.
There's no magic formula. We're all trying to figure out what the algorithms do and what they mean. And it really comes down to testing and learning. No client is the same. So we are constantly posting things and then looking back on the previous month and reevaluating what performed well, what didn't, and then figuring out how to move forward, what kind of content works, what doesn't, what gets clicks, what gets engagement. Like, it depends on what your goal is for social media. So it's always testing and learning, and sometimes things flop and sometimes things go viral and you didn't expect it, and it's just the way it is.
Two things of what you've just said there as well, actually. So the algorithm is one thing. With that, do you think that it matters so much that it has such a big impact on, you know, if you follow the guidelines of, you know, what you're told about the algorithm, do you think that's kind of your way to make it on that platform, I guess, or get those viral campaigns and those viral posts?
Maybe, but it's, so I think it's a little bit of like, you get some knowledge and you figure out what all of the pros are saying, what works.
Yeah.
You try some of that, but you also have to really go based on your gut because, you know, most brands or people who are doing marketing for brands mm-hmm. really know that audience. And it, even if, you know, if Instagram is saying that you have to post more video, but you think that the audience prefers, you know, carousel posts or infographics or something.
Yeah.
Then go with your gut. Like it's not necessarily, you don't have to live by the algorithms. You really have to live by what you think your audience will find engaging and helpful and useful and click-worthy and all of that stuff.
And to do that, you're tracking the insights, aren't you? So Instagram make it pretty easy. I think there's quite a few platforms out there that make it very easy. I know Facebook make it quite easy, and also LinkedIn, to track your insights and to track, you know, this is how many people this reached and this is how many people that reached. And, you know, when you're tracking your insights, it's easy to say, okay, my audience really likes it when I post this kind of content. But what insights? There's so many there. There's so much information on those pages. I know on Instagram, especially, that you click onto the insights section and there's just pages and pages of information. What should you be looking at specifically?
So for organic social media, what we, the biggest, the best metric that we track is engagement rate.
Yeah.
That is the engagements, so likes, comments, shares, clicks, divided by your impressions.
Okay.
Times 100 to get the percentage. So you got to do a little bit of math, but some of the platforms will give you the engagement rate. And then you can also use third-party tools like Hootsuite or Buffer or Later or Sprout or AgoraPulse, or, you know, there are many of them.
There's so many, yeah.
Yeah. So you can use a third-party tool to get that data as well. And a lot of those third-party tools, you can set them up so that they send you a report that's like auto-generated every month. So it makes it super easy to track.
Yeah.
We also track top performing posts by engagements. It's another thing. You can track top performing posts by impressions, by reach, by engagements, by clicks, like by anything. But we track by engagements because that's really what matters to organic social. You're really trying to build a community and grow the engagement. So those are, it's for us, it's all about engagement.
Yeah. So what is really the difference, you know, between engagement from an organic following versus engagement from a following that isn't 100% organic?
Right. So what I like to say about organic social media is an ad will sell your pair of socks for sure. Like, you know, you put an ad out about your pair of socks, you'll sell them. Organic social media will build raving fans about your socks.
Okay. Yeah.
So loyal fans. So you're really talking to your loyal audience with organic social. You're not, you know, with an ad, you're reaching new people usually. Yeah. And with organic social, you're really reaching your core fans.
Yeah.
So that's why it's all about engagement, because you really want to, you know, build a community of people who are those raving fans and people who will comment and share and like and click and buy, you know. But really, it's not so much about the sales, it's more about creating that community. And that's why engagement is so important for organic social.
Yeah, I completely agree. It's about building a community, like you've just said, of people who really believe in the brand, you know, not just see one thing and love it and just stay on that one thing, but see multiple things and love the brand and believe in what you're doing and believe in the messages behind of what you're doing as well. It really is about that. But how do you stay in front of those people? You know, you might get their attention once. How do you then turn those people into the people that keep coming back to the page, the people that keep following and keep, you know, engaging with your content?
So it's really about just posting things that make people want to engage.
Yeah.
So you want to ask a lot of questions so that you have conversations going in the comments, and you want to answer all of those comments.
Okay.
Because there's, you know, social media, I always say social media is social after all. Like, you want to be talking to a crowd of people who are super engaged, and they're talking back, and you're having conversations. And this is what the algorithms, like, in essence, this is what the algorithms really love, is building communities and creating conversations. So you want to ask a lot of questions in your posts, and ask questions that you think your audience would feel compelled to answer, not rhetorical questions or yes or no questions. And usually we find that questions where someone is compelled to share an opinion or tell a story, those are the best questions. And then you can keep the conversation going in the comments. And every time you get another comment, the algorithm's like, oh, this is engage-worthy content. This is creating a conversation. More people should see it. So it increases your reach organically. So we ask a lot of questions like, you know, what's your favorite ice cream flavor? What's the best Halloween costume you ever wore?
Yeah.
What's the coolest thing you found on the beach? Like, just things where people can tell a story, because people are more compelled to answer those.
So these call to actions, aren't they? That's what they are. They're call to action, you know, getting your audience to, I guess, engage with you in an extra way, not just liking a post or maybe saving it if it's on Instagram sharing it if it's on LinkedIn or Facebook. But it's also just getting that extra bit of engagement, because there's so much engagement that you can get from your followers.
Yeah.
You know, there's obviously DMs as well. Do you guys do any work with DMs as well? Like, do you send direct messages or?
Yeah, so we do, of course, we answer all of the DMs, but we will reach out to influencers for some of the clients that we work with as well to create some partnerships there. But most of what we do is usually in the comments.
Yeah.
That's really where the magic happens for
us. Okay, that's so cool. Is there like anything, any particular tips, I guess, you'd give within that, within getting that organic community or within finding the right platform for a specific brand?
So
I know that was a lot there.
Yeah. So when you're looking to find the platform, really think about who your audience is, who your target audience is, and you might want to ask some of your favorite customers or your most loyal customers, like, what is your favorite social media platform?
Yeah.
And that might give you some market research as to where you should be, because you might be posting on Facebook, but your audience really loves Instagram. So it's worth asking a few of your main customers. And then tips for like increasing engagement. You mentioned calls to action. So always have a call to action on your post, whether it's, you know, to click a link or to DM us or to leave a comment or to double tap this if you relate or share this with a friend who would find this helpful.
Yeah.
All of those different things, whatever your goals are for social media, make sure that your calls to action align with that. So if you need more clicks to your website, then make sure that you're doing a lot of calls to action about, you know, clicks to your website. But if your goal is to grow an engaged audience, ask a lot of questions. And use the different engagement tools that come with the social media platform. So like for Instagram stories, there's the poll and there's the quiz and there's the little slidey thing. Those things exist because Instagram wants you to use them.
Yeah, so of course.
Definitely make use of those. On LinkedIn, the polls are very engaging.
Yeah.
You'll see them, like if you're looking through your LinkedIn feed, you'll see all kinds of polls and there's like tons of engagement on them.
Yeah.
So and I think, they're very popular.
So I just cut you off. I think using those features that are on the platforms as well can give you a lot of answers, you know, when you use them, like we do loaded polls here. So it's kind of like you get a lot of information because you're asking your target audience exactly what it is that they want to know. And by asking them, you get a lot of answers back as well, and it kind of helps you create that content for them specifically. So I think using the features that are on the platforms is very, very useful.
Absolutely. And that brings up another thing. When we run contests, we always run comment-based contests.
Okay.
So we ask a question in the contest text, the post text. And it's usually a question that the client really wants to know about their audience. Okay. So it helps them with market research. And every comment is an entry. So a lot of these contests that are like, share, and tag a friend or something, those actually go against Facebook's guidelines.
Okay.
Promotion guidelines. So you really run the risk of like losing your Facebook account.
Oh my gosh.
I know, it's horrifying. So I never run a contest like that. I always do a comment-based contest because there's, you get so much value. People are compelled to answer because they could win something.
Yeah.
And so you get all of that market research. Like we work with the bank that we work with, we ask a lot of questions about people's financial habits. Or even just stories. Like we did one where we asked, what was the first thing you ever bought with your own money? And there were tons of answers. Yeah. And they were so cute. It was adorable just to see all of the different answers.
I think that's like comes back to again to what we were talking about before about building a community, because, you know, if they're all commenting and seeing each other's answers as well, it's like, oh, we all like the same brand. So there's like that commonality there as well in between not just the brand and that person, but also the people that all follow that brand then have that shared commonality, which is like a really nice thing to build. And then you build a strong community as well by doing that.
For sure. Yeah, that's so true.
Yeah. Are there any other tips you'd like to share with us?
I mean, I probably have a billion.
That's what you get for being an expert. Yeah.
I could go on all day. I could share a tip about hashtags for Instagram in particular. Yes. I'm obsessed with hashtags on Instagram. So when I'm doing hashtag research, I have so many things to say about hashtags, but I usually pick hashtags that have had, you know, when you're searching hashtags, it'll tell you how many times it's been mentioned. So usually like between 10,000 and like 500,000 mentions, because if you get into those like millions, then you're just going to get a whole bunch of spam, and spam's
your post will get drowned.
And you'll get lost. Like anyone who's following that hashtag won't likely see it, won't likely see your post because there's just too many. And then if it's too unpopular, like under 10,000 mentions, there's not enough people who are using that hashtag or following.
Yeah.
So we stick in that little sweet spot. We categorize hashtags into like three categories. One is geographic. So if you're a brand that has a brick and mortar in a certain area, then definitely use hashtags for your city or your region, whatever it is. Then hashtags that are specific to your company and whatever the post is about, obviously.
Yeah.
But also hashtags that your ideal customer, again, might be following. So if you're like a clothing company and you cater to women who, and a big chunk of your audience are teachers, then maybe you're using hashtags about teachers.
Yeah.
You know, so just keep that in mind. Think about your target audience all the time, whenever you're creating content.
Yeah. Okay, thank you so much for coming on to the podcast and, you know, sharing all your tips and expertise and your knowledge.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it was great. Thank you guys as well for watching this podcast. And if you're watching on YouTube, don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe. And that's it for this video. Bye, guys.